I don't know about you, but there have been times where I have been in a one-sided conversation. Someone calls me or texts me or emails me and says, hey, do you want to get together at a coffee shop? I'd love to talk with you. And I'm really excited about meeting with the individual. And so I show up at the coffee shop, we sit down, and as we begin to speak, I realize very quickly that we are not going to speak, that the person on the other side is the one that's going to speak. Anybody ever been in a conversation like that? And the entire time, you're listening and listening and listening, and you're waiting for them to breathe. You're just like, you're amazed at how they can go and go and go. And there are no periods in their life, just commas. They just one phrase, another phrase, another phrase. They just keep going, just keep going. Just got to get rid of this. It's driving me nuts. And they just keep going, they just keep going, they keep going. And you're just like waiting for the moment that they just stop talking. And they go the entire time and you haven't said a word. And they get to the very end, and when they finally hit the period, they say this, something like this. Man, this has been such a great conversation. I have so enjoyed talking with you. And I usually am gracious and smile and say, yeah, it's been wonderful. But the truth is they haven't been talking with me, they've been talking at me. They've just been talking, 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 talking. If you are going to have a healthy relationship, friends, you know that there's got to be a two-way listening and speaking element to communication. That you are not just to speak and the other person listen, and you are not just to listen and the other person speak. That it's both listening and speaking. Listening and speaking. The same truth plays out in our Christianity. You see, sometimes we think of prayer as just this one-way conversation. That we come before God and we just talk to Him. Talk, 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 talk. And God's like listening, and He's just waiting for you to have a period on the end of your sentence. And you just keep talking, just keep talking, just keep talking. And He is eager to say something to you. If we are going to have a healthy relationship with God, it's not just about us talking, us going to God in prayer. It's also about us listening to what He has to say to us. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. In order for you to do what God wants for your life, in order for you to walk in full obedience, you've got to be able to hear His voice. God's kids, God's sheep, those who are Christians, hear the voice of God. Our ability to obey, our ability to live out our faith is tied to us hearing from God. Then we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what Jesus is saying in this passage is that just like bread sustains us, gives us life, that if you want to have a sustainable life in Jesus Christ, you've got to hear His voice. Friends, please listen. The vibrancy of your faith isn't tied to church alone. The vibrancy of your faith isn't tied to you just communicating to God. Jesus says, just like bread, that which sustains us is the words that come from the very mouth of God. We must learn to hear from God. But here's the problem. If we can all be honest here, it is easier sometimes for me to have a conversation with my wife who I can see in person. I can see the expressions on her face. I can hear the words and the lips moving at the same time. Then it's easier to talk to somebody in person than it is to talk to somebody invisible. I mean, this thing called prayer and listening to God seems so strange in Christianity because God can't be seen. And the truth is that if we did a survey here, I'm sure that very few of us would say, hey, I saw God walk into my bedroom. He was wearing, you know, an American Eagle sweatshirt and a pair of jeans. And He said these words out loud. Very few people are going to be able to say that they had an encounter like that, that Jesus walked into the room and they actually heard His voice. So how do we hear from God? Well, I want to look at a passage that comes on the tail end of Jesus' resurrection, just shortly after Jesus is raised from the dead, and He has an encounter with two disciples. And we're going to look through this passage in Luke chapter 24. If you've got your Bibles, you can flip there. You're going to see it on the screen in just a few moments. But as we talk about hearing from God, the first thing I want you to know is that if you're going to hear from God, you've got to pay attention. You're going to have to pay attention. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 16 says this. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Okay, so there are these two disciples, and they're making their way to Emmaus, 7 miles just to the northwest of Jerusalem. And Jesus has just recently died, been crucified, put in a tomb for 3 days, and then all of a sudden he's missing. And there's all these rumors that Jesus is walking around alive. And these two followers of this rabbi named Jesus are discussing what has just taken place. They're discussing about what it all means, and they're trying to understand things. And the Bible tells us that Jesus shows up beside them, but for some reason, they are not able to recognize it's Jesus. And we might be thinking, well, maybe they just had poor eyesight. Maybe, you know, they just weren't paying attention. Truth is, as the Bible says that they were kept from seeing, recognizing it was him. And this word kept means that it's a strong phrase, and it means that God is not allowing them to recognize it's Jesus. I don't understand why, but God has prevented them from having this revelation that the person that's walking with them is actually Jesus. So Jesus is right there. He's talking to them, but they don't know that it's him. And then in verse 32, just near the end of the story, it says this: "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road?" This is so vital to the story. You see, literally what they are saying is that when they were talking with him, with this idea of burning, it's that they were lit up inside. They were lit up inside. So this is what's happening. They're walking with Jesus. They can't recognize. They can't say, "This is Jesus." But as he's talking, something lights up in their hearts. Something comes alive inside of them. They recognize that this isn't just a normal conversation. There literally is something lighting up inside of them. And this is so key, because there are times in our life when God is trying to speak to us, and we are unable to recognize that it's him, except that we know that there's something burning in our hearts, except that we know that something's being lit up inside of us. You see, we must not rush past these moments when we sense that something is lit up inside of us, but we need to pay attention to what's going on inside of our lives. I've shared with this congregation numerous times about my call to ministry, and so I'm not going to reiterate it this morning. But I want to say this. The moment that this worship team from Eastern Pentecostal Bible College came to our church, and I sat there and I watched them, my heart began to burn. There was something inside of me that said, "I want that." Something lit up inside of me. And I said, "I want that." And as I went home that night and I was processing what I had just experienced, I sensed in my heart, I didn't even understand it, but I sensed in my heart that I was to take the same path, that God wanted me to take the same path as these individuals who had stood up representing the Bible College, and that I was to go into ministry. I sensed it that night. There wasn't a person in my room. There wasn't writing on the wall. There was just this lighting up in my heart. And that night I knew that God was calling me to go into ministry, to full-time ministry. Here was the problem. I wanted to have a revelation of something clear. I spent 6 months asking for Jesus to reveal himself. I spent 6 months waiting for an angel to tell me that this was Jesus. I spent 6 months arguing with God, saying this, I don't fully know whether or not you want me to go into ministry, because I haven't had the unveiling moment where I can actually see Jesus walking with me. But in my heart, friends, in my heart, there was something lit up. And from the moment that Sunday night, right after Airborne had been at our church, this group from the Bible College, from that moment through this group, I knew in my heart that Jesus was calling me to ministry. 6 months of arguing, waiting for a revelation that I could actually see the Jesus. And there are so many times we miss God's voice because we're looking for the Jesus. We're looking for something physical. We're looking for something tangible. We're looking for something so clear. We know in our hearts that Jesus is speaking, but we're waiting for him to reveal himself.
6 months, Jesus, just reveal yourself. Just reveal yourself. And Jesus is saying to me, I revealed myself in the burning in your heart back on that Sunday night. I revealed my words. Wasn't I there? And weren't you burning up? Weren't you lit up inside? You see, we believe it will, that when God speaks, it will only come from sacred spaces or in sacred ways. From sacred spaces and sacred ways. Oh, the pastor will say something, or someone will have a prophetic word, or I'll come to church and it will happen there. But I want to tell you that sometimes God speaks as a stranger on the road. Sometimes God speaks to you as a stranger on the road. Sometimes he'll speak to you in a movie. You're sitting there watching a Netflix movie, and all of a sudden something will burn up in your heart for Jesus or for his mission. Sometimes you'll be reading a book, and all of a sudden something starts to get lit up inside of you. You start to dream about doing something for God. And sometimes you're in a casual conversation with someone over an overpriced Starbucks, and something begins to burn in your heart for something that you should do for Jesus. Or sometimes you're just walking down the road, and it's the stillness of nature. And in the most unlikely places, something starts to light up inside of you, and it's God. You see, when he speaks, something lights up inside of me, telling me to pay attention because God is speaking. You see, friends, God speaks both supernaturally and naturally. He speaks both supernaturally and naturally. And some of you have had God speaking to you in the last little while, but you're waiting for the man, the stranger on the road, to reveal himself. But you know that it's him because something's burning inside of you. If there is something lit up in your heart for a ministry, if there's something lit up in your heart that you should be doing, if there's something lit up in your heart for God, I want to tell you that's the stranger on the road named Jesus. And he's trying to speak to you. Pay attention. Second thing that we need to understand when it comes to hearing from God is that we need to ask for interpretation. Luke chapter 24, verses 17 to 19 and verses 25 to 27 says, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. It's a pretty funny statement, by the way, that Jesus is going, "Oh, what's happening?" He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. They're walking along, they're talking about the events of the day, and friends, they just can't connect what's happening in their context with the Word of God. They're talking about their rabbi who has died and now is missing. And the Bible tells us that Jesus begins to bring meaning to their context by interpreting Scripture. But by pointing back to Scripture and saying, hey, this is what the Word of God says. Now let me connect it to your daily life. Let me connect it to your context. We need Jesus to interpret Scripture, connecting the text to the context. This is key. We need to make sure that when we read the Word, that we're hearing him interpret the text to connect it to our context, so that the Scripture makes sense for what's going on in our life today. You see, while we read the Bible at times, we sometimes just can't connect the dots to our life. I don't know about you, but there's times I've read passages and gone like read the book of Leviticus. I mean, I just struggle at times to connect the dots to my life. Without an interpretation, we get stuck. 2017, Ainsley and I had done our first missions trip as volunteers and missions for the PAOC. And we had been asked to consider going to India, which maybe we should have gone to, but I was just a little hesitant because I had never been there, and this was my first trip without a missionary as kind of our tour guide. We were doing it all by ourselves. And I said, hey, I'd like to go back to Thailand because I'm very familiar with it, Bangkok and Chiang Mai. Here's the deal. You land in Bangkok, and it's this big, big, massive metropolitan of a city. And what I love about, one of the things I love about it is that people speak English. I mean, there's tons of Thai for sure, but they've worked with enough tourists that I could get there and I could talk to a taxi cab driver and tell them where I want to go, and I could talk to my hotel person, I could talk to somebody on the street, no problem. They understood the language. But in one of my early trips to Thailand, when I wasn't as familiar, I remember being just amazed by this concept that people in Bangkok could really clearly understand English. But then Peter DeWitt took us on into the far north. And I remember we went to this small community, and then one night after our ministry, we decided to go to the local market. And as I'm going through this local market, I'm looking around, and all these Thai people are staring at me because I look different than them. They've not seen a white man. This is the northern part of Thailand, and this is like a remote community that tourists don't go to. And as I come to a vendor, I'm trying to barter about something, and I try to speak in simple terms, and the man standing there is just like. So I try to communicate a little bit more, and I just keep doing, and I'm speaking the right words, but he's not understanding them. They're falling void. Finally, I see Peter coming down through the group. I'm like, Peter, come here. I need you to translate for me. Could you tell him that I want to buy that for less than he's offering it for? And Peter steps in and he takes my words and he interprets it to this man so that everything makes sense. You see, sometimes when we look into the scriptures, it just doesn't make sense to our life. And the words fall void. We've done the task. We've read the scriptures. We've checked off. We've done our devotions. But the truth is, friends, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And what happens is we have the static reading of scripture where we read it and nothing moves. We are no more different after reading the scriptures than before we read the scriptures. We're static. And what Jesus wants to do is he wants to be involved and he wants to speak through the Word of God by interpreting it so that we have a dynamic reading, so that when we read the Scriptures, we are changed and we are transformed and that we do something with them. So how do we get Jesus to interpret Scriptures? If you're going to take notes, this is it, because this is going to be very, very practical in the next 2 minutes. There's an ancient practice called Lectio Divina. It was first developed in the 6th century as a monastic practice by Benedict of Nursia. And those who lived in his Benedictine community would spend 3 hours reading scriptures and praying over them. And he had 4 simple points that would allow Jesus to interpret the word so that we could understand what he's saying through the text for our context. The very first was this, lectio. Lectio means to read the text. Friends, you're never going to hear from what the Bible says if you don't read it. You've got to get into it. And I would encourage you not just to read the Bible, but to have some good Bible tools, a commentary. You can find stuff online, Bible tools online. Use something to help you read the text. So lectio. The second is meditatio. M-E-D-A-T-I-O. It means to meditate on the text. And what we do in those moments, we read it, and then we meditate on it. What's the author trying to say? What's the writer trying to say in this passage? What's his intent in this? And then we go to oratio. And oratio means to pray the text, to speak to God about it. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but you take the passage, you've just meditated, and you go, okay, God, this is what I'm reading. What do you want to say about this? Help me to live this out. Help me to understand what this means in my context. God, I'm taking this, I'm going to speak it, and I'm going to speak it to you. I need your help on this. And then step 4 is the part where Jesus speaks, contemplatio. And it means to contemplate the Lord. It's the spot in your Bible reading where you let God show you how to connect the passage to your current life. He interprets it. You see, Scripture needs to move from our head to our heart to our hands. Let me explain. I've told this story. I'm not going to go into the details of the story, but teenager, 17 years old, needed money to go to a youth rally. I'm praying in the basement. God, I need money. I don't have a job. I need money. Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, open your Bible. I open my Bible to the passage where I didn't have this memorized, but I felt he said, go to Psalm 31:1. So I go to Psalm 31:1 that says, "In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness." I start to say it, and then I start to meditate on it. What's he saying? Oh, David's writing this, and he's asking for God's help. He knows the enemies are around him. Okay, that's what he's saying. And then I begin to pray, "God, what are you trying to say through this passage to me? What are you trying to say through this passage to me?" That's the contemplatio. The oratio. Then I go to the contemplatio and I listen. And the Holy Spirit says this, "Jeff, just like I provided for David in an impossible situation, I'm going to provide for you in a supernatural way." Just like David wasn't sure how I was going to help him with the enemy around him, I'm going to provide for you. And I start to quote that scripture over, "In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me not be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me not be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness." And I begin to hear what the Spirit is saying. And friends, 1 week later, I'm walking down the streets of Oshawa. I'm doing a prayer walk right downtown. And I see this little red bill, this red piece of paper floating along. Person after person walks by. And I reach down and grab it, and it's a $50 bill. Thank you, Jesus. I only needed 8, but you gave me a little bit extra. You see, when we go to the Word of God, we ask the Spirit to interpret it to us. We read it, and we meditate on it, and then we pray it, and then we ask Jesus to speak the text to our context. Boys are walking along talking about what's just happened. Jesus goes, "You don't really understand how the text connects to your context. Let me interpret it for you." Ask for the interpretation. Lastly, persistently invite. Verses 28 to 32 says this. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going to go further. But they urged him strongly. Let me pause there for a second. This isn't a, "Hey, it'd be good if you came with us." This is a begging. "Come on, you got to stay with us. Come on, you got to come and have a meal with us. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They're walking along, about to go to Emmaus. Jesus is about to go somewhere else. Where are you going? I got to go get a Starbucks. "No, Jesus, you got to come with us." "No, guys, I'm really busy." "No, you got to come with us." And they're not saying Jesus, obviously. "No, you got to stay with us. You got to come with us. Come and have a meal with us." I really got things to do." "No, you've got to come with us." They persistently invite Jesus. Friends, listen to me for a second. Some of us say we've never heard from Jesus because the one time we've asked, we haven't heard anything, and then we just move on. Because we're walking with him, and he decides to go over here, and we're like, "Hey, would you come with us? Would you speak to us?" And he goes, "Well, I'm kind of busy." And you're like, "Okay." We need to have a persistency. "Jesus, I need you to talk to me. Jesus, I'm going to keep begging you. I'm going to keep asking you. I need you to sit with me and talk to me because I want to be in relationship with you." We persistently listen to his voice. We persistently invite him to the table. We persistently go after his voice. When he's silent, we don't just move on. There are times I have to make phone calls to people I don't want to talk to. Nobody in this place. And what happens is I put it off, and it's usually I shouldn't say this because if you get a phone call from me late Thursday, you're like, "That's me." But I usually put it off till Thursday afternoon. If I call you Thursday afternoon, it's because it's been super busy, okay? But sometimes I leave it till late Thursday afternoon. And as I'm calling, my heart's racing, and I'm thinking, "Jesus, please, please let me get the answering machine. Please let me get their voicemail. Please, please, please." And when I hear that voicemail, I break into unbelievable praise. Leave a quick voicemail. "Hey, it's Pastor Jeff calling. Just want to," or whether maybe it's somebody from church or maybe it's somebody else, one of our friends. "Hey, it's just Jeff calling. Just want to touch base with you. No need to call me back. Just blah, 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 blah. Bye." Hang up. I just, and I don't pick up the phone again to call them back. But if I want to talk to somebody, if I want to be in communication with somebody, I call them and I get the voicemail. I'm like, oh man. Hang up and I dial right back, speed dial. Redial. Call back again and again and again until I get to this place. Like, there's 16 voicemails on their answering service. They think I'm a stalker. You know, like, I just keep going because I want to talk to them. You see, how much you want to be with somebody, how much you want to hear from somebody, how much you want to talk to somebody is all determined by how much you will go after them. And if you want to hear from Jesus, don't ask him just once to come and sit at your table. Keep begging. Keep persistently inviting. Keep asking him to come. I heard this great story, read this great story this week. Pete Gregg, who's the founder of 24/7 Prayer Internationally, talks about a Kurdish woman named Azrin. She grew up in northern Iran, had 6 cousins killed by the Ayatollah. When she was 16, she was arrested and accused of crimes that she didn't commit. She was so frustrated that she was being accused of this falsely that she determined, well, if I'm going to be accused of this, I might as well start to do this. And she determined that she was going to join the Kurdish army to become a fighter. She had grown up as a Muslim, and she had never heard from God in her life. Kurds were atheists, and so she wasn't even taught the importance of hearing from God. But before becoming a fighter for the Kurdish army, she determined that she would give God one try. So she came before God in her home, and she said to God that he had 7 days to speak to her. And that if he didn't speak to her in 7 days, that he would become, I think the word is gar, which means it's the Persian word for someone who is permanently upset with them. She would become somebody who he was permanently upset, or she was permanently upset with. Day 1, she prays the prayer, nothing. Day 2, nothing. Day 3, nothing. Day 4, nothing. Day 5, nothing. Day 6, nothing. Finally, day 7, she's about to go to bed and she says, God, just don't want to remind you. I want to remind you that you had 7 days, and you need to speak to me or I'll know that you don't exist. And that night she fell asleep, and she had a dream. She found herself in this big reception area, and she felt all alone and awkward, and she looked around, and there was a man standing over by a pillar. She walked over to the man, and it was Hazrat Isa, which is Jesus the prophet as understood by the Muslim faith. Nervously, she addressed him, saying that she was there to talk to God. And this man said, talk. She replied, no, you don't understand. I want to talk to God. Again, he slowly said, talk. And then he said these words, I am God. I am God. I am God. And in that moment, something lit up in her heart, and she was convinced in this dream that Jesus truly was not just the prophet Hazrat Isa, but he was the Son of God, that he was who he said he was. And she began to have a conversation with Jesus in this dream, and when she woke up, her heart was melted because she knew that she had become a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And friends, she went on to become a church planter. Pete Gregg said, isn't planting churches in your country dangerous? She says, I was willing to die for the Kurdish militia. Don't you think it's better to die fighting for Jesus? Went on to plant church after church because she heard from Jesus. 7 days you got, Jesus. 7 days you've got to talk to me. Day 1, nothing. Day 2, nothing. Day 3, nothing. Kept praying. Kept persistently inviting. Some of you have given up on hearing from Jesus because you've asked once and nothing. Keep asking him to come to the table. Keep asking him to sit with you and talk. Keep persistently inviting because Jesus wants to talk to you. We hear from God when we daily invite Jesus to sit and talk with us, anticipating. Let me land the plane. About a week and a half ago, I was invited to this alpha Zoom call for pastors. I had stupidly, on a Thursday, by the way, I stupidly booked myself from back-to-back-to-back meetings. Like literally end one Zoom call into the next to another one. I was just jam-packed. I could barely breathe. And I found myself in the middle one spilling into the time of the third one, which was this alpha Zoom call. And so I got on the call about 10 minutes late, and when I joined, I saw this man who was talking, and he was doing this little devotional, and so I thought, oh, it's just, this is the prelude. And so
Got to confess, I'm watching the Zoom call, hearing words, but I'm on my computer multitasking. I'm really not paying attention. And I'm hearing the odd word here and there from this man, and then all of a sudden, he says, okay, thank you, Shayla. And he turns it back to Shayla Visser, who's the national director of Alpha. And Shayla goes, oh, thank you so much. I can't remember the guy's name. She said, that was incredible. Listen, this is what we're going to do before we talk. We're just going to bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit what he's trying to say to us through this devotional that was just shared. This is what I'm thinking. Panic strikes my heart, and I think, what did I hear from the Holy Spirit? I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention. I was so distracted that I missed what he was trying to say, and I missed the richness of what he was downloading to all the pastors on that Zoom call. Thankfully, when we finished listening to the Holy Spirit, that no one asked me what I thought, because I would have been making something up that would have probably sounded stupid. But I missed the richness because I wasn't paying attention. Friends, don't miss the richness of what God wants to share with you because you're so distracted. Don't miss the richness of what God's trying to download into your heart because you're doing everything else and you don't have time to hear his voice. Pay attention. Ask for interpretation. And persistently invite. As we close this service, friends, I want you to hear from Jesus. Don't be a Christian who's just a one-way talker, but listen to his voice. Pay attention to what's burning inside of you. Ask him for his interpretation, connecting the text to your context. And keep asking him to come to your table. Keep anticipating he will speak, and watch and see what he will do. Jesus, today I thank you for this passage that Luke wrote us. I thank you for this great story on the road to Emmaus, and I pray that today we would be people who learn from these two disciples, Cleopas and this other disciple. I pray that, God, that we would pay attention to the lighting up inside, those moments when you use things around us, people around us, books around us, to light something up inside of us, that we know that was God. Let us pay attention to that. I pray that, God, that we will seek the interpretation as we read the Bible. Let us not just be static readers, but dynamic readers, trying to be changed by the Word. Let us take time to contemplate and listen to what you're saying from the text to our context. And lastly, Lord, I pray that every person in this place would not get frustrated with the silent moments of God, but we would persistently invite Jesus to our table. We would persistently invite him to speak to us. We would keep asking him 7 days, 14 days, whatever it takes, that we would be people who are hungry for his voice. And Spirit, would you speak? Would you speak to us today? Would you speak to us this week as we go about your work? The Bible says that your sheep hear your voice and then they follow it. Help us to hear so that we might live out what you anticipate for us. Jesus, we love you so much. Now be with this church as they leave this place. I pray your blessings upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask this today. Amen.